Thanks for taking the time to listen to these recordings of our Sunday morning sermons. The Door Church is one church in two locations on mission to see lives restored with the gospel for God's glory, and we'd love to have you join us. For more information about our gatherings in Louisville and Argyle, visit us at thedoorchurch.net. Now, let's worship God by opening His Word.
All right. Good morning, church family. How are y'all? Good, good, good. If you're new here, my name is Scott Brooks. I'm the lead pastor. I have the privilege to be on the preaching team. Just excited to be here with you this morning. If you have your Bible, go and grab it. We're in Daniel chapter 6, and that's in the Old Testament around 743, if you're using the Bible in the seat back in front of you. Daniel, and so we're in a famous passage. It's often known as a children's passage, the lion's den. So Daniel in the lion's den, and man, this has been ministering to me. Hopefully, it's been it'll minister to you this morning. Just to set the context of the sermon series, and also Daniel is in exile. So Babylon ripped Judah out from their home country. Daniel is living really in Babylon, but he's living for the Lord. But he's serving a foreign king, and he's doing it really well, honoring God, honoring really a foreign pagan nation, and it's a great way. To look at our own lives, to be a faithful exile. And so we find ourselves in Daniel chapter 6, and what we have here is Daniel's at the more end of his life. He's around 80 years old, and I think most people have heard this story. There's lots of cultural references to Daniel in the lion's den, and we kind of pacify the story as a children's story. It's maybe a little bit even familiar. What I hope is that we don't have apathy to this story. It is powerful. And it's crazy. An 80-year-old man is being thrown into the lions, or den of lions. I was just thinking about that. That's like my dad. So if you know Tim, as he greets you, he's not that old, but he's getting there. That type of older man thrown into a lion's den, that doesn't go well. That's very fierce, and lions would be feared. And it's an incredible story of a faithful man at an older age to God, and some that we can really learn from and aspire to be like. Just so you know, Daniel now has had three different kings over his life. Three different kings. So he's had King Nebuchadnezzar, who ripped him out of Judah. So that's a foreign king in Babylon. Then you have Belshazzar, which we learned about, the writing on the wall. And then we have the Medes, the Persians, have now invaded. Now he's under another king, Darius. So you have three different kings. But Daniel still stands serving the one true king. And so this is just one thing that we'll see, that Daniel knows who the real king is, who is the one true king. Although he's serving earthly kings, not even godly kings, but he's serving one true king in a foreign land under foreign, really pagan kings, and he's doing it really well. So I want to mark this text out. It's quite a bit of text. The distinguished servant, which could be its own sermon in itself. And that's really, we'll look at verses 1-5. Daily devotion. What set Daniel apart is his daily devotion. And then lastly is deliverance and rescue that we all long for. Deliverance and rescue that we all long for. So we'll pick up in verse 1. It says this: "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps." And so satraps is a fun word we don't use anymore. Think governors. So 120 governors to be throughout the whole kingdom. So he has these governors that are ruling and governing through his kingdom, and over them, three high officials, of whom Daniel was one of them. So he was one of the high officials, three over all the governors, to whom the satraps would give an account. So he would give an account to make sure the kingdom is being governed rightly and according to the king's desire, so that the king might suffer no loss. And so what we have here is Daniel is given this high position, he's governing well, and he's making sure that this king, Darius, is going to prosper in the way that he wishes to run his kingdom. Verse 3, "Then Daniel became distinguished above all the other officials and satraps because what an excellent spirit was in him." So we're going to do some little work on what is an excellent spirit, what set Daniel apart of being distinguished is this: he has an excellent spirit. So what we have here is the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. So he's getting a promotion. Think chief of state. So not only was he one of the three, now he's becoming the one overall. Why? Because he had a distinguished, really, position and how he governed, but an excellent spirit. Verse 4, then the high officials and the satraps sought to find ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because what? He was faithful. He was faithful. He was full of faith. So he's getting these raises. He's getting promoted. The people, you can imagine, not excited. So when you get a promotion, just so you know, not everyone's excited about that in your company. And so he had some people not excited about the promotion that he was getting. And they thought, we're going to find a complaint or fault so we can get him out of there. And it says there's no error or fault found in him. Because why? He was full of faith. That's what it says, faithful. These men said, we shall not find what? Any ground. Man, it's such integrity. What he said he believed and what he did was actually what he did and said he believed. He had integrity. They could not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God, his faithfulness to God. Now, distinguished servant. What's interesting here is if you're a Christ follower, and I never want to assume that, so we'll talk more about that. But if you're a Christ follower, that you say your faith is in Jesus, that Jesus is your king, you should be faithful to him first and foremost, but also you should be used in the world to bring him glory and good. They're not at odds with one another. We should be in the world, but we should not be of the world. And what set Daniel apart was this excellent spirit. He was set apart, man. He was distinguished from everyone else. And in being distinguished, he had this excellent spirit that helped him rise to the top. And, man, God made him flourish. And this excellent spirit is the Holy Spirit that sets us apart. Now, it says this excellent spirit is described as, or like, what does it mean to have an excellent spirit? What does it mean to be full of the Holy Spirit? It means to be faithful. It says this in the text, to be faithful. So he had an excellent spirit that set him apart. He was distinguished and he was faithful. This is full of faith. If we're going to be faithful people, we have to be full of faith. And really, we got to see the faithfulness of God, which you just sang about. It's really just a beautiful song that tailors really well with the sermon, that we have to see how faithful God is. We got to be full of this faith to believe God over anything that may be influencing us in the world. Obedience to God's word. So what's interesting here, I'm going to read Jeremiah 29, verse 7, which we talked about several weeks ago. So Jeremiah is a prophet. As Judah was being sent away to Babylon, Jeremiah gave a word to the exiles that were going to Babylon. It says this, here's the word from God, how you should interact in a foreign country, in a pagan nation, under a pagan king. It says, but seek the welfare of the city. So as Daniel's being sent out of the city, he says, I want you to seek what the welfare of the city. Don't get after, don't try to avenge yourself. Don't try to run away. It says, I want you to seek the welfare of this pagan king, this foreign nation, where I have sent you. God sent him into exile. And pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. Now, this is just incredibly different. What God tells Daniel and the exiles, what faithfulness looks like, to be obedient into a foreign land, is to seek the welfare of the city. What I'd say is, if we're going to be any good use, and really when I say good, if we're going to show God in our workplaces, in our homes, in our city, in our schools, we need to understand this first and foremost. We should seek the welfare of others. What he didn't say, Daniel, you need to seek your own welfare. You need to seek the welfare of Israel. You need to seek the welfare. He says, I want you to seek the welfare of where I sent you. The way that he's asking him to work is, I want you to consider not yourself, but to consider others before yourself. This was the command. This is what it means to be full of the Spirit. This is what God tells him to do. I want you to seek other people's good, maybe at the expense of your own. Now, this seems so counterintuitive. Why do you go to work? I don't have to answer that question. I don't have to hear your response. You go to work and I go to work apart from the Holy Spirit. You know why you go to work? For you. Right? That's why you go. Like, I'm going to get paid. I get my time off. I'm going to get that vacation. I'm going to get my 401k. This is who you are working for. See, Daniel knows why he's working. He's working for the Lord. He's working for others. Now, this is super interesting. He's like, well, that I got to take care of me. No, that's not what Daniel does. He's like, I'm going to work for the Lord. I'm going to seek the welfare of the others. And what happens here? He continually gets promoted. There's a way that God designed the world to function. If you just seek the welfare of others, God will take care of you. That's the truth. Zig Ziglar, who's a motivational speaker, and I wouldn't say I'm into that, but he was a Christ follower. And what he says, you can have everything you want in life if you help everyone else get what they want. And there's a spiritual principle to that rule. If you just seek the good of the people around you, you know what you're gonna have? You know what's gonna happen? You're gonna have friends. You're gonna have wealth and relationships. And if you are operating to consider other people before yourself, which is the mind of Christ, according to Philippians, man, you'll be full of faith and have an excellent spirit within you. He's working on behalf of the Lord. This is what God calls him to do. Now, what is interesting here, Daniel's not going in here just thinking about himself, how to get out, just put in a good day's work and go do himself, do what he wants on his own time. But man, he is seeking the welfare of others, and it says they can't find any fault in him. Another way, he's working strictly for the Lord, not for profit, not for promotion. That's not why he's even doing it. He's trying to honor the Lord. And what happens here, and why he keeps on getting promoted, who doesn't want an employee? Who doesn't want to hire someone? It's like, man, all they're doing is seeking the welfare of the people, seeking the welfare of the customers. That shows up on time, works a long day, he is not stealing, is honest. Like, any person was like, I want them, and I want them to manage everything. Right? Because that person's trustworthy. There's no one like that in the world almost, apart from God. Everyone is seeking their own interests. Furthermore, he's operating on the behalf of the Lord. He's seeking the welfare of the city, and he's doing it on behalf of the Lord. And so he's bringing the justice of God, doing what's right in his home, in the kingdom. He's being kind, he's being generous, he's being merciful. He's showing what it looks like if God was ruling. And it's a beautiful thing. If you're seeking other people and you're seeking to bring kindness and justice and rule, man, what you're happening is you'll have a flourishing environment. There's health in that culture. And what happens, he keeps getting promoted. And what we should long to be a faithful exile is to be used this way, to seek the welfare of the city on behalf of the Lord. We work for God, for the good of other people, and let God take care of us. And what happens is, he's being spent for God. He continues to be promoted, continues to flourish. We have a core value at the Door Church. If you're on staff, it's not about you. So many times it's like, it's not about who speaks, it's not about who's singing, it's not about how much recognition you get. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. Let God take care of what he's going to take care of. It's about him. It's not about you. And if you could operate that, man, you'll see God just really bless your life, because you'll start to live for his glory and other people's good. And it's a beautiful thing. It's attractive to other people. Now, what is not attractive, is as he gets promoted by God and as he's being faithful, is everyone else doesn't like it, because, man, they're taking the place that they're trying to earn. They're working for themselves. And so they devise a plan. So he's a distinguished servant, but an excellent spirit because he is full of faith. Verse 6 says, then these high officials, satraps, came by agreement to the king and said to him, O King Darius, live forever. All the high officials of the kingdom, the prefects, the satraps, the counselors, the governors, are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. So they're setting this trap. They're setting this web to entrap Daniel, that is, hey, you know what? He's going to pray to his king. King Darius, only people can pray to you for 30 days. It's only 30 days. See, at this time, they're very, very much okay with pluralism. You can worship many gods. But at this, they made this injunctions, like, for 30 days, everyone has to pray to you. And so verse 8, now the king established the injunction and signed the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Therefore, King Darius signed the document injunction. So they set the trap, signed, sealed, delivered. Daniel's going to pray to his king. He's not going, not just to pray to Darius. Now, what's interesting here, we have staff, and we in our staff, we read the text, and Jerry poses the questions, and he says, you know, was it sin or not sin to basically go out in public and pray? Could he have done it in hiding and been okay? And what I'd say here is he had a decisive decision, Daniel did, to continue to pray and let everyone know. He had a decisive decision, and I really considered, what would I do and say, hey, you know what, you can't pray to anyone besides Darius, you know, and I just, in my mind, would I be in public, be seen praying, or would I just, you know, I'll be faithful to God. I'm going to read my Bible in the morning. I'm going to close my door. No one's going to know what I'm doing in my car. Would I be so public with my faith, or would I hide it and be like, you know what, God forgive me. I'm devoted to him. He knows my heart. Like, what would I do? And I really struggled here because Daniel really has a decisive decision. Well, what I want you to see, it's not really that decisive because he has a daily devotion. Verse 10 shows he is daily devoted to God. This wasn't just like, man, a big decision happened. He's like, what am I going to do? It's like he was daily devoted to God. This was not just, you know, addition to his life. This is who he is. And so when it came for this decisive decision, it was an easy decision. Why? Because he's been making it daily for years upon years upon years. An 80-year-old man daily devoting himself to the Lord. This is an easy decision. It seems like a hard decision, but this discipline set forth became an easy decision. Let's read verse 10. The daily devotion. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to the house where he had windows in his upper chamber, opened towards Jerusalem. I underline Jerusalem in my text. He got down on his knees. I underline knees in my text. Three times a day, I underline 3 days in my text, and prayed and gave thanks. I underline thanks in my text before his God, as he had done previously. I underline previously in my text. This is who Daniel was. He was daily devoted to God. If you're going to be a faithful exile, you have to be daily devoted to God. He had a devoted heart to God. Because I'm going to tell you, if, you know, some ruling comes out, the culture sways a different way. If you don't do this, you're going to be canceled, so to speak. I mean, it's not even the lion's den for us. You just get canceled, you get scared. You're going to be distracted. You can get discouraged. You can get dismayed. Like, what are we going to do? But he didn't have any of those thoughts, and here's why. Because he had a devoted heart, a disciplined heart. It was a daily discipline. He was devoting his heart. It says three times a day he would pray. This was not unusual. This, he didn't go out and say, oh, no, I need to go pray. He says, this is what he does continuously. Three times a day, he got on his knees and he prayed to this God. Now, my question here is, why did he do it three times a day? You don't see that anywhere in Scripture. Like, you have to do that. The reason, one, in Scripture, it says that we should renew our minds. It says that we should set our minds on heavenly things. And here's why. We have a fickle and forgetful heart. I'm telling you, man, when I'm in the Word of God in the morning, I feel like man, my swag for God is off the charts. Man, you couldn't come at me with anything. And I mean, I'm unshakable because I just remember God. I'm in the Word. I'm confident what God's doing in my life. I'm confident what he's doing in my kid's life. I'm confident in what he's doing everywhere because I remember God. Now, I was going to say lunchtime, but that's even too late. By breakfast, man, I've already forgotten. Man, I'm weak at the knees, and I'm frail, and I'm fickle, and I've forgotten. I'm talking from 6 a.m. by the time I get my kids out the door, man, I've already forgotten. You know why? Because I'm a human. That's why three times a day, he is setting his mind onto who God is. This is why he is full of faith. This is why he is faithful. He is continually setting his mind on who God is. Man, I'm going to ask you, are you doing that? Are you continually setting your mind on who God is? I mean, this will change everything. It will change your life. We forget. I mean, I think for a lot of us, we just are just once a day. Let's get in a daily discipline. But he's three times a day setting his mind upon the Lord, and we should continually be doing this. Why? Because we are fickle. We forget. It says, what's so interesting, not only did he pray three times a day, but he faced Jerusalem. It actually says this in a random text in Kings. I'm not going to mention it. But it says, face Jerusalem if you're in exile in repentance, and that God will deliver you. But he was just setting his face to Jerusalem, I believe, because he's simply remembering, I belong to the one true God, right? Because he's in exile. He's in Babylon, now Persia. And he's three times a day remembering, facing his homeland, this is my God. This is not my reality. My reality is I serve the one true God. And this daily devotion is remembering man, this is my God. Who is, because it can be, you can forget as things are coming at you, as he's in a foreign kingdom, as he's seen different kings, he'd be like, man, I don't know who's ruling. I don't know who's really reigning. I don't know how my life's going to go. Lots of confusion, but three times a day, he's like, oh yeah, but God is God. That's what he's doing. He's remembering who God is. And I just wrote down some things that he could have been doing. I don't know. But I know he praises. We're going to get to that in a second. But he's praising God, that God is the God of creation. I mean, I think if we just remember that, we'd be okay. That with one word, God spoke everything into existence. He spoke and everything's here. You are being sustained right now because God wants you to be sustained. Isn't that crazy? Like he's giving you the breath in your lungs, the beating in your heart. Praise God. I had a little breakfast sandwich this morning. I was like, man, thank God for food. I mean, he just provides day in, day out. And I forget. I worry about money. I worry about how I'm going to make ends meet. God has always been faithful. Always. You know what happens every morning? Every morning, the sun comes up. Praise God. Man, his mercies are new every morning. Seasons happen like clockwork. God is saying, I am unchangeable. I'm unchangeable. Everything else seems like it's changed. Remember, I am unchangeable. I'm immutable. I am the everlasting God. I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the creator of life, sustainer of life. Man, this is I believe, what Daniel's doing. Remember who God is, who made him, who sent him into exile. He has you right where he has you right now because he wants you there. And he's just looking at, man, I serve the God of creation. Furthermore, he serves the God of covenant. He's facing Jerusalem saying, man, my God is a God of covenant. I don't have time to get all into it, but God is in the process of redeeming all things. He is. He said it in Genesis 3:15. Adam and Eve rebelled against God, and it says, through the seed of the woman, I'm going to crush the serpent's head. And from Genesis 3:15 is a redemption plan happening. You can go look it up. Genesis 3:15, you got Genesis 15. It says, through Abraham, through your offspring, it's like, here's my covenant. It's happening. He is not like man that he should change his mind. He's not like a man that he should lie. What God says, he does. He's a covenant keeper. He's saying, my God is going to do what he said he's going to do. He's just remembering that my God is a God of covenant. He's a God through the generations. I mean, this is crazy because I think we like live in silo, but our God is a God of covenant. Same promises that he gave to Adam and Abraham, he gives to us. Like the God of Abraham is our God. The God of Isaac is our God. Jacob, our God. Paul, our God. Timothy, our God. Peter, walked on water. That's our God. It's like, remember who he is. He's the God of covenant. This is God doesn't change. We forget. We're fickle. He's remembering who our God is three times a day. Furthermore, I have to believe he's tracing the faithfulness of God. I mean, think about what Daniel's already had 80 years of walking with the Lord. And yes, he's in exile, but 80 years of seeing God show up in tremendous ways. If you don't remember, King Neb came to all the counselors and the people that supposedly could tell dreams. And King Neb says, someone has to tell me my dream and the interpretation and all you're dying. All of you are going to be killed. You know what? God gave him the dream and the interpretation. So did God show up? Yep. So he's probably remembers like, you know what, God, you gave me that dream and the interpretation. He watched his friends walk through a fiery furnace where it looked like the Son of God showed up and walked with them through it. He's like, nope, God seems to be faithful there. Just previous chapter, which is some years before, middle-aged Daniel, watched God write writing on the wall. This is his God, and he sees him do amazing things. And I just want you to think, I want you to think about your own life. God is so faithful. He is so faithful to you. It may, you know, look at what he's done in your life. He's a God of creation. He's a God of covenant. He's a God of faithfulness to you in your own life. You know what? As he's remembering, facing his face towards Jerusalem, he's on his knees giving thanks. What I think is so interesting here, Daniel does not ask for him to change the predicament, does he? He didn't say, God, please take it away. I don't want to go to the lion's den. That's not what he says. He gives thanks. God, you're a redeemer. You're my protector. You're my refuge. And he gave thanks that you are God. And he got on his knees and just praised him. this knees is symbolizing, man, that he's getting before God, my God and my King. My God and my King. Do you get on a posture before God and say that you're my God and my King and you're ruling and reigning in my life? Just think about this. If Jesus is King, what would you do today differently? What would you do? The good news, I mean, he is King. He is the King. He's the King. He rules and he reigns. And if you set your mind on that, he's the King who rules and reigns, who's in the process of redeeming, he's our deliverer, your decisions would change. They would. See, what's so interesting, and I got to go quickly here. I think some of us, and it can be taught this way, like Daniel's amazing. Like, look how great Daniel, he's just so, man, he's an excellent worker, full of the Spirit. Man, be like Daniel. I want you to hear me. You will never be like Daniel. What's so amazing about Daniel is not Daniel, but his belief in who God is. Daniel's not actually that special. What's special about Daniel is God. And he's believing in who God is. And I got to go quickly. But there's, in Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Fame of Faith. People just like Daniel actually quotes Daniel, that God shuts the mouths of the lions. It says this, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. I'm going to stop right there for a second, and I'm going to walk through what this is like. We got to believe like Daniel. We got to have faith like Daniel. We got to be full of faith like Daniel. It says, now faith, what is that? What is faith? It's assurance. Underline assurance if you ever go there in Hebrews 11, chapter 1. Assurance is like, it's a guarantee. So he wants you to have faith in a what? A guarantee of things hoped for. So we're going to talk about what's hoped for in a second, but it's a guarantee that what we hope for will happen. And it says what? The conviction, the confidence of things not seen. If we're going to be like Daniel, we got to believe like him. We got to have this guarantee, the things that we long for, God's actually going to do. We got to have this conviction that the things that we've seen, he's going to bring about. And so I'll give you a few, and I got to move on. But in Hebrews 11, go home and read it. If you have time, you can make time. Go read it. It's amazing. It just goes through all these men and women that had great faith in God. But listen to what it says in verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. So if you don't know that story, Abraham told him to go offer his son Isaac. And what's so great about him, he says, in faith, because he knew that through the line was the Redeemer going to come. He's like, even if I offer up Isaac, I know he's going to raise him from the dead. That's what it just said. And my point here is I talk to a lot of parents that are very scared for their kids, their health, how it's going to go in their life. And what I tell you is God cares more about your kids than you do. And he's the only one that's going to raise them up from the grave one day. The only one. You can't do that. And he's saying, where's your faith for your kids? Is it in your ability or God's ability? That's a crazy statement. Do you know what God can do? Is your hope in him or yourself? Furthermore, it says in verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, which is a high position, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. For he was looking, what, to the reward. Moses, by faith, man, separated himself from Egypt and Pharaoh, said, man, the reproach of Christ, the sufferings of Christ is greater wealth than all the wealth of Egypt. Why? Because he was looking to the reward, what was coming. That's crazy. He says, all the wealth in Egypt doesn't compare to the worth that's in Jesus Christ. We'll talk about what that worth is here in a second. Furthermore, in verse 32, it says, and what more shall I say? For time would fail me to mention Gideon, Barak, Samson, Japheth, of David and Samuel, and the prophets, of whom through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises. Listen, stop the mouths of lions, quench the power of fire, escape the edge of the sword, were made strong
out of the weakness became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight, all by faith. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. It doesn't always end well. I don't know if you're listening, but some are sawn in tune, some are tortured, but they're looking to one who is able to raise life. What makes anyone special is their belief in God and who God is and what he's able to do. We'll keep going. Verse 11, it says, these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. Then they came near and said before the king concerning the injunction, O king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god or man within 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing stands fast according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Then they answered and said before the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction you have signed, but he makes petition three times a day. Verse 14, listen to the king's heart for Daniel. It's really sweet, even because he's honoring God and serving this pagan king. It says, the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed and set his mind to deliver Daniel. He wanted to deliver Daniel because he loves Daniel and how he was serving him. And he labored till the sun went down to rescue him. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, know, O king, that it is the law of Medes and Persians that no injunction or ordinance that the king established can be changed. Verse 16, then the king commanded that and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you. And a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, and nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and he spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him. And slept fled him because he's just so concerned about Daniel. So Daniel's in the lion's den, and the king can't sleep. Verse 19, Then at the break of day, the king arose and went into haste to the den of lions. And as he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able what to deliver you from lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the mouth of the lions, and they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him. And also before you, O king, I've done no harm. The king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him because what? He had trusted in his God. And the king commanded, and those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions, their children and their wives. Before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered and broke all their bones in pieces. I got to be quick here. So God delivers Daniel here. The line here is he delivers and rescues, which is found in verse 27. He delivers and rescues. Now what's interesting here is, so Daniel's in the pit of the lions. And what's interesting, it says, God sent his angel to shut the mouths of lions. His angel. Now, what's interesting in when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, this angel is there too. And the king at that time, Nebuchadnezzar, looks like the son of God. And so you keep having Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego going through the fiery furnace. Clearly, Daniel was in the pit of death. And this angel of the Lord that looks like the son of God keeps on showing up. And here's the good news. Here's the good news. Is that Jesus bore our death to see us through ours. I'm going to tell you something that's so amazing. Like one day you're going to breathe out your last breath and your eyes are going to close and you're going to be put in a tomb, just like a lion's den. That's the reality. Here's the coolest thing ever. If you're in Christ, you know who shows up? The Son of God. He comes out, he keeps showing up in the midst of death. And he's going to see us to the other side. I truly believe to be absent of the body is to be present in the Lord, because that's what the Word of God says. And the most scary thing in the world is to be alone in that death. And you know who keeps showing up? If your faith is in Jesus Christ, because he's defeated death, he's going to bring us through it. It's this shadow of death. He's going to bring us to God himself. To me, that is the most ministering thing in the world. That God, in your darkest hour, is going to show up and see us through death to eternity. This is the promise we have in Jesus Christ. That he will never leave us nor forsake us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And this is the point that we have here. We have a deliverer who shows up at our darkest moments to see us through. It's not always going to be that we're rescued from the lion's den, but the point is that when we die, we will see the other side because of Jesus Christ. Furthermore, what we see here is not only does he deliver us from, which is our greatest fear, which is death, but he also rescues us. We have a promise of a greater reward. When this greater reward is, not only does he see us through death and have eternal life, but we're going to have a new heavens and new earth. We have this rescue coming. What's interesting, Isaiah 11, verse 6 and 9, it says it this way, about talking about the new heavens, new earth. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together. Like these are animals that don't hang out together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. What we have this glimpse, and then God shutting the mouth of the lion is we have a foretaste of what new heavens and new earth is like. The lions, which represents the wrath of God, is totally pacified, and there's only going to be eternity, and there'll be this shalom forever and ever and ever. So what's this guarantee of faith? One, that Jesus is going to see you through your death to the other side. Number two, you know what's amazing? He's going to bring a new heavens and new earth that will never be tarnished. Every tear will be wiped away. That's going to last forever. That's greater reward than anything that you could ever have right now. This is the promise that comes through Jesus Christ. And as this king runs, Darius runs him, he wrote to the people and nations and languages that dwell in all theirs, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. Why? Because he's the living God. He's the living God. He endures forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed. This is the pagan king, and his dominion shall be to the end. Why? Because he delivers and he rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions, so Daniel prospered during this reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So I'm going to close with this. Who's this story for? Daniel's in the lion's den. Yes, it can be a kid's story. We got to show the glory of God and, man, the beauty of Christ seeing us through. But who's the story for? Daniel. I'm going to ask you something. This story is absolutely for Daniel. Do you think that God could save Daniel before he went to the lion's den? The answer is 100% yes. But he chose not to. He wanted him to walk by faith in who God is to see him through. Do you think, Daniel walking to the lion's den had more confidence as he faced death? Well, I bet he did. Do you think Daniel was grateful for the lion's den? I bet he was. I bet he'd do it all over again because he experienced God in a new way. Furthermore, who do you think Daniel's for? I think it's for us. Man, I want to be faithful. I want to be full of faith like Daniel. I want to have that daily devotion and walk with such God confidence to live as Christ, die as gain. How amazing is Daniel's so encouraging me and encouraging my faith. Furthermore, it's for others. Man, as we walk through the trials and sufferings that we have in this life, considering the approach of Christ, the sufferings of Christ, and we trust him with our kids, our money, our life, our future, you know what, we know what happens to others? Other people are looking and saying, I want that. I need that. This is what this story is all about. It's obviously for Daniel. It's hopefully for you and for others. And it's for those, listen, that trust in God. You want this reward? We got to walk by faith, not by sight, and put our trust in Jesus Christ alone. Let's pray. God, I pray that you'd help us see the beauty of this text, that we would believe like Daniel. And God, how great you are, how merciful you are. God, that you're faithful. God, we're so grateful for Daniel and how he models to be a faithful exile. Jesus, I'm so grateful that you battled sin, Satan, and death, and that you'll be with us as we taste, really, in our biggest fear, which is death, that you took that in full so we only have life. It's called the death shadow. There's no sting of death because you've taken it in full. All we have is life. We're so grateful that you're going to be with us in death and through death and see us to the other side. We're so grateful that you're going to bring a new heavens, new earth, that you're the king who's alive, who lives forever, who's going to bring a new heavens, new earth that will last forever. Help us live for that. Help us live for that reward. Help us have this this assurance and guarantee that's for us in Jesus Christ, that we live more in light of the promise and the covenant that you've given to us in Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, embolden our faith. Help us be faithful people. Help us have an excellent spirit to live in the world, but not of it. I ask that in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.